The 23rd Psalm. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have today again to share this truth. To share your word, God, with your people is the most important thing that I feel that we can do. Help us, God, I pray, that we can communicate your word to your people in a way that is relevant to our hearts and meaningful to our lives, God, and that will help us to be conformed into the image of your Son. And so I ask you to take a coal, the Bible says, off the altar and place it on my mouth, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing to you alone, my Lord and my God. Father, you said heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. And so we thank you, God, for your word today. Help us to receive it now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Remember what we started last week, where we said that the welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. It's important that we understand. When we went over the first verse last week, the Lord is my shepherd. And I said this, if you can't say my, then this psalm is not for you. If you can't say the Lord is my shepherd, then this psalm is not for you. And the blessings of this psalm do not pertain to you. The my in that verse is the key to unlock the blessings of God throughout the rest of this psalm. And we had some examples last week, and I don't want to reiterate that, but you can pick up a CD because we're just starting this series, and it's going to be an incredible series. To look at the 23rd Psalm in a different way, maybe than you've ever, it's looking at it differently than I've ever have. When you start to study what sheep are all about, because we're related to sheep, believe it or not, and you're going to see some characteristics. I'm going to give you some statistics today that you're going to say, wow, that is how I am. Yeah, God knew what he was talking about when he related us and compared us to sheep. He did. So let me ask you a question. Is there anyone here today dealing with stress? See your hands. Oh, so I look out there and I see you're all stressed up and no place to go, huh? There you go. How many know that stress is a problem? It really is a problem. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, James. In a Los Angeles Times article, would you believe that they brought it out where stress is also a problem for pastors? Now, when I'm going to give you these statistics, they didn't ask me about these statistics because I don't fit into these, I don't think. Maybe a couple of them. But this psychologist, Richard Blackman, said this, quote, pastors are the single most occupationally frustrated group in America. How about that? About 75% of pastors go through a period of stress so great that they consider quitting the ministry. 35 to 40% actually do. Incidents of mental breakdowns are so high that insurance companies charge about 14% extra to cover church staff members compared to employees of any other profession. A study by the Fuller Institute of Church Growth found that 90% of pastors work more than a 46-hour work week. 90% of them feel that they are inadequately trained to cope with ministry demands. 50% feel unable to meet the needs of the job. 75% report a significant stress-related crisis at least once in their ministry. 80% believe that pastoral ministry has a negative effect on their families. And 33% say that being in the ministry is downright hazardous to their families. They say that many pastors you will meet today have been stressed since their school days or seminary days. In fact, when I read this little poem on seminaries, I thought about stressed out pastors. Here's what this poem says. A seminarian named Breeze, weighed down by MAs and PhDs, collapsed from the strain, said his doctor, "It's plain, you're killing yourself by degrees." I thought that was pretty cool. But for everyone, stress is affecting our rest. We're working longer and sleeping less than at any other time in history. A CNN poll reported that 59% of all Americans would like to slow down and relax more. And a Harris poll said that we have 8.5 hours less leisure time each week than we did 20 years ago. According to the U.S. News CNN poll, only 28% of American adults get 8 hours of sleep. According to the USA Today, Americans average about 6.5 hours sleep, and 1/3 get 6 hours or less. That's one of the statistics that I fit under. But this is alarming. Drowsiness has become a major problem in this country. Anybody ever get drowsy when you're driving? Yeah, me too. Come on, be honest. It's a major problem. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration said that drowsiness causes 38,000 deaths a year and a cost to the industry of over $100 billion a year and is directly related to over 100,000 motor vehicle crashes. This 23rd Psalm that we're studying today, this beautiful Psalm. Psalm has been redone. We read it here on Tuesday night, called the 23rd Psalm for Firefighters. And it's been done by a number of different groups and so forth. But someone took this 23rd Psalm and turned it into a bit of poetry that describes a problem that we're having with stress, worry, and deadlines. Listen to this version of Psalms 23. The clock is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when I'm exhausted. It leads me to deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My hen basket overflows. Surely fatigue and time pressure shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the bonds of frustration forever. I don't like that version of the 23rd Psalm. But do you ever feel like you're burning the candle at both ends? I've heard people say, well, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Well, you know what I believe? I believe God wants us to last out. Okay? Stressing robs us of our rest. And the lack of that rest is increasing our stress. And many of us are caught in the vicious cycle of physical, emotional, and spiritual fatigue that never seems to end. But there is a solution. There is a solution. There is, like, if you could put it like this, there is a bridge over troubled waters. When you allow Jesus Christ to become your shepherd, and when you follow him as one of his sheep, here is what he promises to do for you. Look at verse 2 of 23 Psalms. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Tucked away in that incredible, that beautiful verse are three secrets on how to handle the problem of stress and how to get the type of rest that your body, your soul, and your spirit that you really need to have. Okay? The first one is, and I put this all in your notes, you don't even have to write anything. Rest in the presence of the Lord. Rest in the presence of the Lord. The first thing the shepherd does for the sheep is he makes them lie down. Now, again, to understand this verse, you need to understand what the shepherd does for the sheep. Sheep begin to graze and feed about 4 o'clock in the morning. By 10 o'clock in the morning, the sheep are hot, they're tired, and they're thirsty. Now, sheep can't drink while they're hot, nor while their stomach is filled with undigested grass. So the shepherd has to make them lie down and rest. Guess what? Sheep don't like to lie down. They're like little children. How many have to try to get a 2-year-old to take a nap? Anybody have a problem with that? Oh, yeah. They're like little children. And the resistance of that is just a mark of immaturity. That's really what it is. But the shepherd knows that the sheep must lie down. They must have the time of rest, and they must have the time, that time of peace and quiet. I find it very interesting that the first thing the shepherd leads the sheep to do is rest. Because normally when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is we get ready for work. Right? We get ready for work, then we go to work until we get tired, and only then do we rest. Did you know that the Lord wants you to rest before you go to work? And that rest is when you lie down in the presence of the shepherd. When you just take time to be with the shepherd and enjoy the fellowship with him as your shepherd. That's what God wants you to do. And he says this to us in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13. Listen to what he says. He says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. God wants you to enjoy what we work for. He wants you to enjoy what you work for. But you know what? But we can be trying so hard to get more that we don't enjoy what we have. And one of the reasons why we have so much stress is because we've got this massive desire to acquire. We want to acquire more. We want to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. And we don't even realize that probably the Joneses just refinanced, you know, or they filed bankruptcy. How many heard the expression, take time to smell the roses? And that's an expression. It's not just an old saying. It really is biblical. A shepherd knows that even a sheep has to take a break. And so do you. So do you. I heard where one lady called her pastor on a Monday. She couldn't get a hold of him. The next day she called and he answered. And she was very upset. She said, I called you all day yesterday and you didn't answer. He said, well, Monday's my day off. She said, well, the devil doesn't take any days off. He said, no, and if I don't take a day off, I'll be just like the devil. Now, I take Mondays off, but in an emergency, you can get a hold of me. You can get a hold of Pastor Tony. But don't call me to wonder, you know, did Adam have a belly button? Or, you know, where did Cain's wife come from? No, wait till Tuesday for those emergency questions, okay? Let's not go there. All right. You know, when you study this, when you learn so many interesting things about sheep. Sheep do not graze when they lie down. They rest. And they chew on what they've already eaten. And the amazing thing is, while they're lying down and digesting their meal, it's a critical time for these sheep because it has been proven, listen to this, that their wool grows faster and their bodies grow stronger during this quiet time. Now, don't miss the importance of that last statement. The reason why God wants you to rest before you go to work is because you will grow faster and you will get stronger in the time that you spend in the presence of the shepherd than at any other time during your day, while you're at rest. That's why God sometimes makes us lie down. And he'll do it different ways. He will. Sometimes that's what God does to you. And he'll allow things to come into your life. He'll allow fatigue. He'll allow certain circumstances to say, now I have your attention. Now you'll sit down and rest. I read where an evangelist, we know he had all these dates and all running around all over the country while he was out jogging, and he fell and he broke his wrist or something like that. And he had to cancel all these appointments. And he realized it was a shepherd trying to, he had to stay home. He had to spend time with God. And he changed his mind. And the more he saw it, he saw it as a blessing in disguise. And God will do these things, because the first step to handling stress is to realize that you must rest in the presence of the Lord. Amen? The second thing is, we're to rely on the provisions of the Lord. Rely on his provisions. The shepherd not only makes the sheep lie down, but notice, he makes them lie down in green pastures. That literally says pastures of tender grass. That's what that means. Pastures of tender grass. Now, obviously, this not only refers to the rest of the sheep, but it refers to the food of the sheep, because that's what sheep eat. They eat grass. Well, our shepherd also has food for his sheep. And that food is the Word of God. That's what our food is. It's the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, Jeremiah says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Your word, Jeremiah says. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 103 says this, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Now, the reason why the text speaks of tender grass and green pastures is because there is some grass that is inferior to other grass. There's some grass that will make the sheep sick. There are other grass that they call goat grass, and that will give sheep indigestion. I know there's some grass that we call grass that will make you sick too. Marijuana's or somebody like that, or some kind of name like that, whatever it is. But a good shepherd leads his sheep only to the best grass. And God has done the same thing for us in giving us his word. He's done the same. He's given us the best grass. He himself said in Ezekiel chapter 34, Ezekiel 34, 14 and 15, listen to this. He says, I will feed them in good pastures, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good field and feed in rich pastures on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. It's incredible. By the way, did you know that sheep will only lie down when they are fully satisfied? Sheep will only lie down when their stomach is full. They will only lie down where there is shade, where they don't get too hot. Sheep will only lie down where there is shelter, where they are out of the rain. And sheep will only lie down where there is safety, where they have no fear of any other animals. And guess what? All of these things are given to them by the shepherd. And they know that. The reason why sheep lie down is because they know they have all that they need. They have everything that they need. Guess what? The Bible says of us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, listen to this. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He already did it. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Did you know in the Lord Jesus, we've already got every spiritual blessing that we need? But you know what? We spend too much time asking God to give us some new blessing when in reality we ought to be thanking God for the old blessings, which are all the blessings that we will ever need for our whole life. Amen? And you should be satisfied in your heart and in your soul, knowing that just as the shepherd provides for the sheep, God will also provide for you. He will meet all of your needs. We covered that last week. That is a great stress reliever. Knowing that your Heavenly Father, your shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, will meet all of your needs. Because he's my shepherd. Remember the ring? Remember where the ring? He's my shepherd. And finally, number three, be refreshed with the peace of the Lord. Be refreshed with the peace of the Lord. Psalm 23 goes on to say, he leads me beside the still waters. Literally, the Hebrew says, the waters of quietness. The waters of quietness. Palestine does not have a lot of lush meadows because they don't have a very wet climate. They need to have Buffalo's climate. We are going to be building an ark after church. A load of gopher wood shall appear in the parking lot if it doesn't stop raining. Anyway, Israel's a rocky, dry, hot, barren land. They tell us between March and October, there's virtually no rain at all. The heat scorches the grass and the water holes dry up and the sheep have to be fed and they have to be led to the sources of water. And every good shepherd knows how important it is to lead his sheep to places of rest. Because without his guidance, they won't rest, they won't find good grass, and they won't find clean water without his guidance. Now, this is vitally important because they tell us that the body of the sheep is 70% water. And they need that water for their body's metabolism to maintain a normal rate. Guess what? So do you. Your body is 60% water, they tell us. 60% water. Your brain and your heart, they tell us, is 73% water. And your lungs is 83% water. That's why you need to drink a lot of water to maintain your own body metabolism. When sheep get thirsty, they get restless. And they sit down in search of water. And if they're not properly led, they will drink from polluted holes and dirty streams and pick up all kinds of parasites, all kinds of germs that will either make them sick or kill them. And furthermore, these waters must be quiet because the sheep will not drink from a turbulent stream. They'll only drink from still waters because they're afraid. They're afraid of drowning. The only way they'll drink is when the water is quiet and still. Now, this is important. Just as the grass speaks of God's word, the water speaks of God's spirit. Okay? How do I know that? Because John's gospel tells me in chapter 7, verse 37, says this. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. When we speak of the water, we're speaking of God's Spirit. And I can't help remember what the Bible says about Jesus when he looked at the multitude. He looked at the multitude and he looked at them as sheep with no shepherd. And just Jesus saw so many sheep wandering, lost, eating poisonous grass, drinking from polluted water. And just like today, we have people who are drinking from polluted waters of drugs and sex and money and fame and alcohol. And yet they're never satisfied. But Jesus said in John chapter 4, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. That's the water our shepherd gives us. And he's talking about the Spirit. When sheep lie down in the grass and when they are lying beside a still stream, they are in the height of their quiet time. It's when they're peaceful. It's when they're growing. It's when they're getting strength for the journey. If sheep do not eat, if they don't drink, if they don't rest, they'll die. Any shepherd wants his sheep to be strong and healthy. We want you to be strong and healthy. The only way we as pastors can do that is to feed you. Nothing but this. That's what's going to make you strong and healthy. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to conform you, to transform your mind, to renew your mind. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As the Spirit of God renews to your mind what the Word of God says. That's what shepherds do. That's what we're called to do. To feed the flock. And the good shepherd, Jesus, is no different. When we enter into his green pastures and we feed on his word and we get beside the still waters and drink from his Spirit, we are refreshed with his peace. We talk about a peace that passes all understanding. That's where we get it from. Someone said life is like a symphony. And in any symphony, there are moments of music, but there are also moments of silence. A symphony sounds, a symphony is sounds followed by pauses. That's why God makes us lie down in green pastures, the green pastures of his word, and that's why he leads us to the quiet waters of his Spirit, so we won't grind a starter until the battery is dead, and we won't run the engine until the tank is just dry. That's why I want to conclude by giving you three simple words. I didn't ask you to write anything down, but just if you would write down three words, and I know you know the words already, but these three simple words on how to get onto that bridge that will always cross over any troubled waters that you might be in. The first word is stop. Stop every earthly activity you're doing and get to a quiet place and get alone with your shepherd. Okay, you got it? Stop. The second word is look. Open the green grass of God's word and let the Lord speak to you and give you the strength for your journey. Stop. Look. What's the last word? I knew I was talking to a graduate student of this congregation. I mean, this is really difficult. This is not hard stuff. Stop, look. And the third is, of course, listen. Listen. Take time to hear his voice. Take time in prayer to speak to him. And allow him to speak to you. So what do I want you to remember? I want you to remember when you're going through this stressful situation, I want you to stop. Just stop what you're doing. Find a quiet place. Get alone with your shepherd. I want you to look and grab a hold of the green grass of God's word and allow him to start speaking to you and so you can get strength for the journey that you're on. And then listen to his voice. Listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. He will speak to you. When you're going through the time of prayer, you're not only speaking to God, but take time for God to speak to you. Allow him to speak to you. He will speak to you. Amen? All right. I'd like the worship team to come back. I just want to conclude with a story that I read where in the deep jungles of Africa, there was a traveler making a long trek, and he engaged the natives of a certain tribe to carry his load. Well, the first day they marched rapidly and they went very far, much further than he anticipated. The traveler had high hopes that the journey could be completed quicker than they thought. But the next morning, these jungle tribesmen refused to move. For some strange reason, they just sat there and ate and drank and rested. When he asked the leader of this tribe why they would not get up and go to work, he said, "Because we went too fast yesterday, and now we are waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies." I thought that was pretty good. We're waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies. Hallelujah. When you allow your shepherd, the Lord Jesus, to make you lie down in the green grass of his word and lead you beside the water of his spirit, while others are drowning in the sea of difficulties, you will be standing on the bridge over troubled water. How about that? How many want to stand on the bridge over troubled waters? I do. And God says, "I'll show you how to do it. I'll lead you beside quiet waters." Amen? Let's all stand together. Our Father, we're so grateful that you have given us this incredible psalm. You've given David such incredible insight to this psalm. And I realize, God, that when David is speaking, sometimes I feel that he's not even speaking about physical things. He's talking about your word. He's talking about your spirit. Because as we look out into a desert where David wrote this psalm, there literally isn't nothing that's green. There's no water to look at. But God is showing David something in another dimension, in a spiritual dimension, that he wants to teach us and he wants us to learn. But we can't learn it until it becomes my shepherd. So I go back to last week's appeal. Have you made the Lord your shepherd? That's the most important message of this whole 23rd Psalm. We got a lot of interesting and fascinating things that God showed David in this psalm and how it relates to us. We'll see ourselves in the mirror of a sheep over and over again. But if you can't say my, this psalm has no bearing in your life whatsoever. So if you're here today and if you've never made the shepherd your shepherd, you can do it today. If you've never done that and you'd like to do that today, I want to pray with you. You can come up and pray with me after the service is over. But I just want you to, do you have the courage to say, "Pastor Sam, it's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need to make the shepherd my shepherd today." Is there anyone here? Will you just raise your hand to God? We'll see it. We'll pray for you. I don't want anybody to leave here without knowing that. That's the most important thing that we could ever do as under-shepherds, as pastors, to make sure the sheep have good grass in the power of the Spirit of God. So, Father, I thank you today. And I thank you, God, that we can close our service in worshiping you. And as we worship you with song, we worship you with our offerings. We want to be obedient, God, in our giving. You said if we are, you'll open windows of heaven. Pour us out blessings we won't even have room enough to receive. So we just stand on your promises, God. Speak to the hearts of your people. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and how you're meeting all of our needs. We never have to beg for anything. You said, "I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread," and we will never do it. Because you are our shepherd. So God, bless your people now as they give in their offerings and as we offer you our praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Come on, what are we doing here, Nancy? Sing, sing, sing. I love that song.
Sing, sing, sing. And make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Lift high the name of nations bow down. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. We're living for. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one. We're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing.
What a day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Yeah.
When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When I take, you know, he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. Whoa, whoa. What a day. Glorious day that will be. Woo! Aren't you glad?